Welcome to this session about Orchestrator, and it's called Troubleshooting and Advanced Administration with System Center 2012 SP1 Orchestrator. My name is Andreas Reins. I'm a data center architect at Microsoft. And today I would like to discuss the advanced administrative topics that are related to Orchestrator. And I would like to give you also an idea about the ways how to troubleshoot and how to log information and errors that occur in Orchestrator, and to understand how to troubleshoot those scenarios. So the agenda will be that we first start talking a little bit about runbook throttling, what does that mean and how to use that. Then about self-monitoring, so how does Orchestrator supports that. Then how to use and enable audit trail. Then we'll go a little bit into the details of Orchestrator folder structure and registry keys, so talk a little bit about the footprint of the product itself. And then what locking information are available and how to configure those, and some sort of basic troubleshooting at the very end of that session. So first of all, runbook and the behavior of runbooks. So with every runbook, you're able to define some sort of behavior on the properties tab of the runbook itself. So there is a tab called Run Behavior, and there you can define the maximum number of simultaneous jobs. So there is an text box where you can set the number of parallel executions that are allowed for the runbook. And that really depends, of course, of the runbook itself. If, for example, if you're going to modify a resource within a runbook that can become locked or does not accept simultaneous updates, for example, then you should restrict that to single executions, that then you enter one to that field and to that text box of the Run Behavior tab. So another limitation here is if your runbook is using a monitor object, then you're not be able to run that multiple times, so you have to limit that to a single execution as well. And of course, some external systems do not support parallel executions as well. Except from those limits, you're able to really define the number of parallel executions yourself. There's also a very good block out there on the Orchestrator block, which is on http://blocks.technet.com/orchestrator, where you will find a very detailed a description on how parallel execution is working in Orchestrator. Another important topic when it comes to administrative topics about Orchestrator is runbook throttling. So the default value for that is that every runbook server can run 50 runbooks at the same time. This is the default value for that, but of course you can configure that to a different number of runbooks that it can run concurrently. And that has to be done using the command line tool aspt.exe with two parameters, the runbook server name and the maximum number of runbooks that you would like to define for that runbook server. And then, of course, you can set that to a lower or a higher number of runbooks per runbook server. Consider a couple of things and think about before you're going to set that. First of all, how often are you going to use that runbook? Is that a very frequent number or is it very infrequently? How much resources are this runbook requires? So if it has a lot of resources in there and if it has really high requirements on that, then you probably probably would like to lower that number from 50 to some lower number. If it hasn't a big requirement on resources and it run very infrequently, you might think about adding more runbooks that can be done concurrently on a runbook server. And of course, also think about how many runbooks are there on a runbook server. Is there just one runbook, or are there 20 different runbooks? And how many steps are involved in each runbook? And those are the things that you have to think about before changing that default value from 50 to someone else. So another important and quite interesting aspect of Orchestrator is the self-monitoring topic. So Orchestrator has a functionality that monitors itself for runbooks and for different objects and also for the database. And that's done by a service called Orchestrator Runbook Server Monitor, which you'll find in your list of services on your Windows server. And if that's not running, you won't see any events, of course, and no notification will happen. But as soon as that Orchestrator Runbook Server Monitor is running, it will write events to your event log about runbooks that have started or not started, or about a runbook that cannot connect to the data store, for example. So if there is any connectivity issue with the database, with the Orchestrator database, this self-monitoring functionality of Orchestrator will help you to identify those problems in the event log. Then, of course, if there is any frequent error happening while connecting or writing to the data store, that will also trigger an event. If a runbook server, for example, has stopped running, that's also interesting from an administration perspective. It will trigger an event there as well. And also if the runbook server is reaching the runbook throttling limit, which we've discussed the slide before, then again, the Orchestrator runbook server monitor will trigger an event and will write that information to the event log. So when it comes to the folder structure of Orchestrator, if you look on the default directory structure on the right, you see a couple of different folders within the Orchestrator folder, which has a management server folder, an orchestration console folder, runbook design and runbook server folder, and a web service folder with all the binaries and executables there as well. So this is all about the folder structure of Orchestrator, and when it comes to the registry structure, you'll find a registry that depends on the architecture of the operating system, of course, so either 32 or 64-bit. The keys are in a different location, of course, but they are in the local machine key on the software, and then depending on the architecture of the operating system, you will find them in different folders there. So there are, for each element or a component of Orchestrator, you'll find a different registry key. For runbook server, you have the settings for all the runbook server role. Then for the designer, you'll find them under the runbook designer folder. Then for the integration packs, that will contain a list of all installed and registered integration packs. And also for Orchestrator console and management server, you have all the settings there for those components of Orchestrator as well. The last one is the trace locker, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, where you will find role-specific subkeys for the different components, and where you're able to configure trace locking and also enable and disable trace locking as well. So this will be covered in a second as well when we talk about locking perspective about Orchestrator. So another feature is audit trail, and this is really giving you the option to report on changes in the configuration and to have those information available for audits, and it's actually it's a collection of text log files that are stored in your file system. So, and it contain information about any interaction of a RUM book with an external tool or system. So whenever there is a change of configuration or change compliance of processes, for example, this will be stored in that text log file. But it's very important to note that depending on how many RUM books you've got and how often they are invoked and how many activities are in those RUM books, that that audit trail functionality can really consume a large amount of disk space. So be aware of that and do not activate that just to see what happens. So only if you really want to have and use that feature and you know what to do. So, and that's the reason why it's not activated by default. But really it records a lot of good information. So you will find information about who and what started the RUM books, for example, at which time and which date the RUM book was started, which is the computer that it run the RUM book, what is the configuration data of each activity and each object in a given RUM book. So you will find all those information in an XML format in those collection in those log files, and actually the location is in the Microsoft System Center 2012 folder below Orchestrator. You'll find the log files there and have all those information. To activate that, there is in the management server folder on your file system, you'll find a command line tool that's called ATLC. And with that, you're able, with a slash enable and slash disable, you're able to activate that audit trail or deactivate it again. So getting back to the log files that I mentioned before, there are a couple of different log files. So first of all, you have log files for every component of your orchestrator environment, which you can enable and configure in the registry. I'm coming back to that in a second. And then you have different log files for RUM book designer, for the setup of orchestrator, for the web components. So there are really a lot of different log files available in the orchestrator folder of your file system, and the most important one are those that are used by RUMBOOK, by the RUMBOOK server, as well as for the problems that are happening to your environment. For example, if you have database connection failures, for example, you'll find the log files there as well, and they are using a GUID to name those log files. So where you are going to configure and enable those logs. So back to the registry I mentioned before, you're able to, for every component in Orchestrator, you're able to define the locking options. So if you go to the local machine registry key, down to the orchestrator key, there you'll find a subkey called TraceLocker, and below that you will have a subkey for each orchestrator component. So you'll find one, for example, for management service, you will find one for the RUM books and activities, and so on. And for those, you're able to define a couple of options here, like the log folder where you would like to store the logs to. Then you're able to define the log label. That's actually defines the level of details. So depending on the number here, there are a couple of options. One is actually the lowest number and the lowest amount of information that will be stored in the logs. So those are only exceptions that will be locked in the log files. Then you have number 3, which gives you exceptions with warnings and errors. And 7 is actually it's the highest number, and that will give you really a full locking of that specific orchestrator component. And then you have the new lock every, and this tells you the number of seconds when a new log file will be created. And again, think of the disk space that it will be used, and use it carefully. But this really gives you a lot of information about what's going on for a specific orchestrator component. And of course, you can enable that configure that for every component within your orchestrator environment. So how to do some basic troubleshooting. So the first options you have is that every runbook generates a log when it's running. So if you go to the designer on the very bottom, you will find two logs, two different logs. First is a real-time log where you see what a runbook is actually is running and what are the activities that are currently running and what are the information there. And then you have a second tab that has the historical logs of your runbook execution. So it tells you which runbook was run before, was it successfully, was it failed, what are the activities that were used, which are the published data in every instance of your runbook. So there is a lot of information there that helps you to troubleshoot your runbook. And you can, of course, you can double click on those objects to get more and more information in that designer. Then, of course, you can configure runbook logging options. You can use the common published data items, which are there out of the box for every activity. And again, those options that I mentioned before about logging levels that helps you to really get information on activity specific and common published data into the logging tab of each runbook as well. So you're able to enable that logging here as well. So I would really recommend you using the real-time and historical logs. So if you go to your runbook on the very bottom, you have those information, you have those two tabs that will give you a lot of information about what's going on currently and what was going on in the past. And most of the times, that's my experience, you'll find the problems with the runbook, with a specific runbook there from the real time and especially from the historical logs. So if you double click on a specific instance, it will open up that instance, shows you all the activities that were used, which one was successful, which one failed, and if you double click on the failed one, it will give you more information about the published data that's there, both common and activity specific published data, and from there you normally will find the problems if you have one with one of your runbooks. So that's my recommendation for troubleshooting runbooks. So now let's switch back to the designer, to the orchestrator designer, and I'd like to show you a couple of troubleshooting tips and recommendations for your runbooks and your orchestrator environment. So now we are in the runbook designer, and I'm going to reuse one of the runbooks that I showed you in one of my earlier presentations about Orchestrator 2012, and I think that was part of the complex workflow concepts. So this one actually is a runbook that is querying databases, calling into web services, querying some XML responses, and so on. But I'm going to reuse that just to show you some basic troubleshooting tips. So if we go to run that guy now, you have at the bottom of that designer, you have two tabs. One is the log tab, which gives you real-time information about currently running instances of your runbook. So you can open that up and see which activity is currently running. And with log history, you have all the past instances that were running. So if you click on one of those, so you see that happened only a few minutes ago. You see when it was started, you see when was the end time of that instance and the status of that specified instance here. And if you double click that here, you see all the activities and that will match to the activities here in the design pane of the runbook designer. And of course you can double click on every of the activities within that instance and you have all the published information So there is some common published data, for example, so start, end date time, stuff like that. But you have also published data that are, that's specific to that activity. So for example, if we go back, that was the monitor date time activity, but if we go to the Invoke web service, you'll see a couple of common stuff, but you also see the XML request payload published data, which was used, and the value down here. In this case, we've used Alice Springs in Australia as the published data, as the value for the XML request payload variable. And that's one variable that's really specific to the Invoke web service activity. You won't find that in the query database, for example. So if we click on the query database, you have stuff like the database server, for example, which was SQL 01 and stuff like that. So with that, that's really very powerful to identify problems, but now everything is fine. So we want to create some problems. So we are going to stop that guy, check it out to make some changes to the runbook, go to the Invoke web service, and just change the URL of that VSDL file, add some strange number to it. So that's not working here. So we check in that guy. So we have a wrong URL for the Invoke web service. So we're going to run that runbook again. Now this entry here in the history, in the log history, just showed you a failed one. That was the one when I pressed the stop button, then it will, wherever that was at the monitor date time, it will say that failed because someone pressed the stop button. But now we have one that's currently running with the changes in the Invoke web service, so with the changed URL. So if we go to the log history, so you see that we have a warning here, and the first two activities were succeeded, so those are successful, but the Invoke web services failed. So if we double click on that, we have an error summary text that says cannot create the web service proxy assembly and so on. So you have information specific to which instance of your runbooks failed and in which activity it failed, and in this case it was the Invoke web service. So those are some basic tips and recommendation how to troubleshoot your runbooks. So we're already at the summary, so I hope I give you some information and understanding about the way of how logging is working with Orchestrator, what are the different logging levels, how to configure that, then of course how to do runbook throttling, think about what's going on your runbook server, how many runbooks are working there, is that resource intensive or not, and based on those consideration, define or set the value for runbook throttling if it's not working, if the default value is not working for you. And of course, the last slide where we talked about some basic troubleshooting ideas and how to work with the real-time and historic logging tab. So with that, I would like to highlight some more information. So with the TechNet Eval Center, you're able to download free trial versions of software, of Microsoft software. That's on technetmicrosoft.com/evalcenter. Then you have the IT Champs website, which gives you technical training events for IT pros, which is on technet.microsoft.com/global-it-champs. And last but not least, the free online technical trainings on Microsoft products at microsoftvirtualacademy.com. With that, thank you very much for this session and for your time, and hope to see you soon on another session on Orchestrator 2012. Thank you.